You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. From social media to the workplace, artificial intelligence, or AI, is becoming more and more widely used in our day-to-day lives. According to a recent Gallup poll, 26% of U.S. workers reported to using AI multiple times per week at their jobs. That's up more than twofold from 11% in 2023. And its use is entering more lives. Nearly one in two people surveyed in that same poll reported using AI at least a few times over the past year. While data continues to be tracked about AI's integration at work, what about education? In a moment, we'll learn how middle school students are becoming the gateway to incorporating AI into their lives. But first, we're going to look at the next generation being trained to enter the workforce. Last year, the California State University system surveyed more than 94,000 students, faculty, and staff to gauge how they feel about artificial intelligence and how it's being used in the classroom. Kate Ricks covers higher education for EdSource, and her latest article breaks down the key takeaways from the survey's findings. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Vicky. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you. So what are the current discussions happening around artificial intelligence in college? And really, why did the CSU system feel this survey was necessary?
There's, you know, the discussions around AI are pretty similar to the discussions that you sort of hear among your friends. I mean, there's a lot of concern about what AI may kind of mean for our future of, you know, I guess sort of human contributions to, you know, research. There's a lot of worry about students relying on AI perhaps too heavily to do their work. It sort of presents a lot of, you know, opportunities to cheat. Those are concerns. They may not necessarily bear out in reality, but there's also a lot of faculty concerns about the way that AI is sort of rolling out, that it's sort of rolling out in a way that's very quick, and it's being integrated into, for example, the CSU's the system. They're making AI available to students and to faculty, but there aren't a lot of kind of rules about how it should be used in place before it's rolled out. So I think there's a sense that it's kind of moving a little too quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like in a lot of respects, moving at warp speed, you know, ahead of any rules or regulations or an understanding of, you know, the consequences. So this study hopes to give some kind of information to help the CSU system have a better understanding about the use of AI. How was the study conducted? I mean, it was nearly 100,000 people that were surveyed.
That's right. They reached out to pretty much everyone who's involved in the CSU system. That means staff, faculty, and students were all asked various questions about their own personal use of AI, their attitudes about it. Do they want to know more about how to use it? They asked students questions about whether they'd be comfortable submitting work that where they used AI to generate the material with, you know, in other words, you know, would they actually rely on it to create their own work? They asked faculty how comfortable they feel about integrating it into their teaching. They just kind of wanted to get, I guess, a baseline of where people stand with AI. Like any big bureaucracy, you know, which basically the CSU system is, they rely on data to make decisions themselves. So, you know, the system itself would say that they're kind of putting these questions out in advance of developing, you know, guidelines, essentially.
And I mean, there are nearly roughly two dozen campuses within the CSU system. It is a very large system in public education. What were some of the top line data points that the survey found that stood out to you?
You know, I guess it stood out to me that, you know, pretty much everyone that they asked in terms of students have used AI. You know, they've used it. That's not surprising. More than 80% of students are concerned about the impact of AI on their job prospects. which I thought was actually, yeah, it seemed like it didn't wasn't a surprising number. I think there are probably some people who might feel that they're not concerned, but that's a substantial number of young people who are worried that AI may change the job market before they've even had a chance to enter into it. It may, be eliminating some entry level positions that obviously a college graduate would be most likely to apply for. They did s express students, though, and this I did hear this from faculty as well. Students don't want to kind of misrepresent their own understanding of a subject. So if they're turning in an assignment, 80% of students say they would not be comfortable presenting AI-generated work as their own. And the CSU system students typically are students who are they may be working while they're in school. They may have families of their own already. So these are students who really kind of want they want to graduate with a degree that really reflects their knowledge because they're going to be going directly into a job. So these aren't necessarily students who are going to try to cheat their way through a course. So it did reflect a fair amount of integrity when it comes to student use of AI.
When you mentioned that some of the students or a lot of the students surveyed are worried about their prospects in the job market once they graduate, is it because they're worried because they need to know how to use AI ahead of graduation, that they need to incorporate it, into their lives even if they don't really want to? Or I guess where does if you can kind of unpack that concern that they have about the job market.
Unfortunately, I don't know how granular the questions were when it came to concern about job security. I think that the overall the question was a little more high level. So I'm not really sure, to be frank, whether students feel that they won't. There were some questions. I guess there is a little bit of detail in that there were some questions that students would be worried that they won't be knowledgeable enough about AI. There was a comment actually from a computer science student that they feel that they feel they have to understand AI, even though they're not actually that interested. Maybe they want to practice computer science more in a kind of old school way where they're actually coding. And increasingly with computer science jobs, they're relying a lot on code that AI has developed for them. So this student felt that they were kind of being forced to understand AI when they actually weren't that interested in it. That's not why they went into computer science, in other words. So I think it varied. Some students might be concerned that jobs would go away, but there are some students who feel like they kind of have to know it, even though it's not really their main interest.
What were some of the responses from faculty and staff?
Faculty and staff said that they want to be able to decide for themselves whether to integrate AI or to allow AI's use in a course. That was pretty consistent. And the people I spoke with in administration, there's a pretty high value placed on academic freedom. So there aren't really, I don't see on the horizon any like rules that would require faculty to either allow or disallow AI. Faculty want to be able to choose for themselves if they're going to use AI in their instruction or allow its use in homework assignments. But I think the main thing that faculty are really working on at the moment is including language in their course syllabi that make it really clear what their policy is, because that was a very consistent complaint from students. It's actually what inspired this survey, was complaints from students that the rules are not clear, They don't know from one class to another whether they're going to be allowed to use AI, whether it's required, whether it's forbidden. It was sort of all over the map. And so what San Diego State University did was they actually, passed a requirement, the faculty did, saying that they were all going to at least address AI in their course syllabi. So they have to make their rules clear so students know ahead of time. And it's not as much of a guessing game where students might feel like they're going to get in trouble if they use it, where they're going to be at a disadvantage if they don't use it. So the main thing I heard faculty say was they were going to be trying to be more clear about what they're requiring or allowing, and that was in a way of addressing student complaints about a lack of consistency.
Kate, finally, in the last 20 seconds or so that we have, of course, you're a higher education reporter. What interests you about this growing tool in the classroom? I mean, this is just the latest in AI reporting. I'm sure it's going to become a bigger part of your reporting on higher ed.
It's not going away anytime soon, that's for sure. I think that it's sort of like a lot of thought and analysis about AI in general. It really does offer a lot of potential. It makes a lot of things easier. For example, just small things like presenting. If you have a bunch of information and you want to make a table out of it in your presentation, it makes that a lot easier. It can help you process and synthesize big data sets, and that's a really good thing that can accelerate research. It can make a student's work go a lot more quickly, but then there's also there are a lot of concerns, I think, about the rapid integration of AI before it's really been kind of digested and thought through. And so there's going to be some ways that AI is pretty questionable. But I think overall that what I'm hearing is that people who teach and people who are in school to learn really want to use it responsibly. And that it'll maybe just be kind of an uphill fight for a little while, understanding the options and figuring out the best ways to use it and what should be avoided.
Kate Ricks covers higher education for EdSource. Thanks so much, Kate.
Thank you, Vicki.
We're talking about the results of an AI survey conducted by the California State University System. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and we're learning about how students and teachers are navigating the growing use of artificial intelligence in the classroom. Now, moving from higher ed to middle school, we're going to continue the conversation with reporter Amelia Angeles. She is a member of the EdSource California Student Journalism Corps and a student at UC Irvine. Amelia wrote the article, "California Middle Schools Are Ground Zero for Testing AI in Classrooms," and joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, Vicki. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time, Amelia. So what led you to be interested in this topic of AI at schools?
Well, I was interested in AI in schools because of my personal experience with how quickly AI became incorporated into my college campus. Between my first and my second year, I noticed a huge jump in the presence of AI. My first year, there was nothing about it at all. It seemed like something that wasn't coming in the near future. But by my second year, all of a sudden, it was included in my syllabuses. The professors were addressing it more in class. There were concerns about cheating using AI, so it was becoming this big thing so fast, and it's just been more in the spotlight since then. So I was curious if that same level of AI awareness and policies is taking place in K through 12th grades as well.
Yeah, why are middle schools ground zero for testing AI in classrooms?
Well, in my article, I mentioned that experts say that elementary students are too young to use AI, and students going into high school should already know how to use it. But for me personally, I know I didn't want to talk to high school students because they've gone so much of their education without AI already. And when I spoke to primary school students, they told me that they don't use AI in their classrooms. So middle school naturally became that sweet spot for testing how AI is introduced in classrooms.
And you talked to students at a variety of schools across the state. What did you learn from them?
Actually, I didn't speak to any students directly. I was a bit concerned about consent privacy issues from their parents since they are still so young. So a lot of what I learned about middle school's reactions is from their teachers. And what I was surprised about was the lack of reaction of students. When I spoke to teachers like Darman and Helmenstein, they said that their students don't really grasp the magnitude of what AI can do for them yet. One teacher put it in a way saying that middle schoolers have a short lifespan and an even shorter memory span. So even though they may be 11, 12, 13, they only really remember maybe 6 or 7 of those years. And since AI is only something that became big maybe 3 or 4 years ago, to them, it wasn't this big transformative thing it was for those of us who have gone without AI. Instead, it's kind of just become this thing that's always been there for them, or just a tool that they can use if they need help with something.
Hmm. When you talk to those teachers, since you didn't talk to middle school students directly, understandably, what did they tell you about what their students are telling them about their feelings about AI?
A couple of them are actually, they didn't really say anything about their feelings. It's more of their responses when they're introduced to AI. So when I spoke to Helmenstein, he was telling me that his students are really against AI-generated images or art. For the Valentine's Day Festival at Marina Middle School, he asked his students about an opinion for a backdrop he wanted to hang up in class. And the students were really against the backdrop because they thought it looked AI-generated and they wanted their art to be real. But when it comes to things like ChatGPT, there's a little bit more hesitancy in talking about it, but Helmenstein does allow their students to experiment with it in class. It's something that they can use as a learning tool to help them with their homework or something.
Right, because Kate mentioned that there's a recognition that there's potential incorporating AI into the classroom. So when you talk to teachers, you know, at the schools that you talk to across the state, what did they tell you about the potential that they see for AI in middle school classrooms?
For sure. That's a good question. For Darman specifically, since he's the only one I spoke to who actively uses AI in his classroom in a structured way, he says that AI has a really good potential to customize things for students and give them personalized feedback on their work. It also is really good for his English learning students, for them to translate things so that they can do their work in their native language and translate it to English so that they can keep up in class and not be kind of stunted by their language barrier. So I think AI is really good at kind of customizing things for students based on what teachers have told me, and also kind of just helping them on routine tasks like drafting emails or coming up with questions for their assignment. So kind of those simple things that just really help the student's learning experience.
How, I guess, when it comes to like the rules of using AI in the classroom, I mean, how is that rolled out from one school to the next? Because I learned from your reporting, you know, it can vary greatly from one school to the next.
For sure, it does vary a lot. And I think a lot of it is based at the district level. So when I spoke to Doherty at the Kitt Public Schools in Northern California, she works for the district. And she said that before an AI tool makes its way to schools, it has to be tested at the district first so that it can make sure that it doesn't actively make things worse for students and that teachers can accommodate for students' reactions to being introduced for the technology. And since a lot of districts are still in that developmental phase, AI tools haven't exactly reached classrooms yet. So a lot of what teachers are doing are kind of on their own.
Mm. What stands out to you about the testing that they're doing at Kitt Public Schools in Northern California at the district level and what they found out so far?
Yeah, so the results from the tests at KIPP were actually very different from the students' emotional reactions. When I spoke to Doherty, she said that she tested an AI tool called Course Mojo with her middle schoolers, and Course Mojo gave them feedback on the work that they did really quickly. And the results were great on paper because students were able to see what they did wrong, how they can improve it. But to students, it felt like the AI was saying, fix this, fix that. And it made them feel like they weren't good enough because all of a sudden they were just getting criticism on their work without allowing them the space to have their reactions and process it. So to accommodate for that, KIPP is using a model that is designed to focus on AI that's more human-centered and can accommodate for the emotional response of the student before giving feedback.
That's such a good point. I imagine it as like getting a paperback with all these red markings across.
Yes.
and very like little explanation that can be so jarring for a student. When it also like I think about the issue that's been raised with AI and using AI like ChatGPT or, you know, other platforms like that, doing work for the student. I mean, how are teachers dealing with the potential for cheating because of AI? Is that a large concern for teachers?
That's definitely a large concern for teachers. No matter what subject they teach, I think they're all really worried about students somehow turning an AI-generated work as their own. And one of the ways I've seen teachers combat this is by assigning more handwritten work, which is very simple. But with the handwritten work, they can kind of compare it to their students' digital assignments and see if there's kind of a knowledge gap that could indicate that a student is using ChatGPT or AI to do their work for them. And if so, then they discipline them accordingly. and kind of teach students policy surrounding AI to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Hmm. Finally, Amelia, I mean, this is your first or one of your first reportings on AI use. I mean, you as a student, a fourth year at UC Irvine, I mean, you laid out in the beginning that, you know, it's changed a lot just in your time as a college student. How do your classmates and friends feel about it? Like, what is the sentiment of the use of AI on college campuses?
For sure. So for college campuses in general, I think a lot of students are kind of worried that AI is kind of going to take something away from us. Sort of like Kate mentioned about having to use AI and kind of taking away jobs. I think a lot of students are concerned that professors will think a lot of work is AI generated. I know students in my journalism class who have gotten pinged for their work being AI just because they use proper grammar or something. And so there's the concern that AI is kind of going to take that away from them. Like Kate said, they want to graduate with degrees of their own. They're very hesitant to use AI. But for those of my friends who are kind of in STEM subjects, they say it's very helpful to help them explain a problem step by step, or just to kind of explain a topic for them, because AI is really good at the STEM things.
Amelia, thank you so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Amelia Angeles is a journalism major at UC Irvine and a member of the EdSource California Student Journalism Corps. We've been talking about her recent article, California Middle Schools Are Ground Zero for Testing AI in Classrooms. Still ahead, an annual celebration of orchids and exotic plants returns to Carmichael this month. We'll learn more about caring for these flowering perennials. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.